It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, February 4th. I'm Patricia Naft. Northside Elementary School in Montrose was closed yesterday. Tuesday night, staff discovered that a pipe in the kitchen had backed up. A further investigation revealed the pipe was damaged from ground settling under a sidewalk. The district brought in contractors to fix the plumbing, and the school is now ready for students. The town of Norwood is searching for a new mayor. Chad Reed stepped down from the position last week after a conflict of interest. Gretchen Wells is the town clerk and election officer.
He took a position with the Water Commission and the town. He is going to be one of our water operators and work part-time for the town, too. Of course, it would be a conflict of interest to be the mayor and your own boss, too.
Now the town is accepting letters of interest from residents of Norwood that would like to be the mayor. The deadline for submittal is February 26th. The current Board of Trustees will then appoint the mayor from the pool of applicants before April's municipal election. Whoever is chosen will finish Chad Reed's term, which ends in 2018. Delta County Commissioners might be looking at zoning soon.
Delta is one of the few counties in Colorado that doesn't have zoning. Instead, they have a much looser specific development plan. It provides rules and regulations for commercial development in unincorporated areas. Commissioner Doug Atchley says some things don't fall underneath that umbrella.
All of agriculture is exempt currently. The three things that are not exempt are slaughtering plants, rendering plants, and confined feeding operations, as it's stated. Those three words do not follow either the state of Colorado statute or the EPA rules and regulations.
That phrase, confined feeding operations, is a tricky one. Like Ashley said, there's no standard definition for it. The issue came up during the Chicken House lawsuit. The commissioners are interested in closing that room for interpretation. Ashley says they realize that Delta County has changed over time and that the rules could use a fresh look and some public input.
And I'm not suggesting that this will be a quick fix. It's going to take some time to do all this and should give every citizen that wishes to participate the opportunity to do that.
He says the process will start small and locally with area planning commissions. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
By some estimates, producing our food consumes about a fifth of the nation's energy supply. But some farmers are trying to cut back on the coal and gas used to grow our food. Harvest Public Media and Inside Energy are teaming up for Feasting on Fuel, a series looking at how energy is used in food production. Today, Harvest reporter Grant Gerlach looks at a couple of ways farms are getting greener.
Greg Brummond grows corn and soybeans in northeast Nebraska. When winter comes, he spends his days in the machine shed, fixing all the things that broke through the year.
Literally about lived up here for 10 hours a day, it seems like.
The shed is huge. There's room for a semi, sprayer, a combine, saws, grinders, drills, even a kitchen. It uses the most power on the farm, and on this farm, that includes solar power. An old shed that was going unused now holds up a brand new 10-kilowatt solar array. It delivers about half the farm's electricity.
We've got 36 panels down there. It's just made sense to utilize something that we have and not just keep pulling electricity off the grid.
Think about all the sheds and barns out there that can hold up solar panels. So far, just 3% of farms in the U.S. use renewable energy, whether it's solar, wind, or another kind. Not a huge number, but it's been growing quickly in recent years. The price has plummeted for solar panels, and farms can qualify for financial incentives from the Department of Agriculture. Once the panels are paid for, Brummond expects to cut thousands each year from electric bills. But he says another reason for going solar is to stop relying so much on fossil fuels. In Nebraska, most electricity comes from Wyoming coal.
A few years back, I flew over Gillette, Wyoming. That's where a lot of our coal comes from. Looking over those humongous holes in the ground where the coal is taken out, I was like, wow, I wonder when this is going to run out.
Even with more farms using renewable energy, agriculture still consumes plenty of coal and oil. USDA economist Jason Beckman has studied the energy diet of U.S. agriculture. He says overall energy use has been fairly even over the last decade or so. Farms don't use a lot more or less fuel for tractors or electricity for machine sheds from year to year. What tends to fluctuate, he says, is fertilizer.
The amount of fertilizer used for corn and wheat, it really weighs heavily on the total energy pie for agriculture.
Corn and wheat need nitrogen fertilizer added to the soil to make big yields. And Beckman says that nitrogen primarily comes from fossil fuels.
80% of its production is from natural gas.
That puts corn and wheat among the most energy-intensive crops grown in the U.S. But natural gas isn't the only way to get nitrogen. Farmers can make their own, right in the field, by growing cover crops between one year's harvest and the next year's planting. Keith Burns is the co-founder of Green Cover Seed in Bladen, Nebraska. They sell cover crop seed across the U.S. On a windy winter day, we're checking out a test plot covered with a thin green blanket of plants called winter peas and hairy vetch. They're planted not to make money, but to keep the soil working over the winter. Burns pulls up a clod of dark black dirt.
You can take a good healthy soil and you can smell it, and it just has that really good earthy smell. And a lot of what you're smelling is those microorganisms.
Cover crops are known for reducing soil erosion and farm runoff, but certain plants, like these peas and vetch, feed microorganisms that replenish nitrogen pulled out of the soil by wheat or corn.
We've got organic guys that we work with that they'll plant a hairy vetch cover crop, and they're consistently producing 150 to 170 units of nitrogen.
At that rate, Burns says, cover crops could replace most of the petroleum-based fertilizer that you'd put on a typical Midwest cornfield.
There's a lot of petroleum, you know, a lot of oil needed to make any type of fertilizer. And so anytime, we don't need it to produce it, we don't need it to haul it, we don't need it to apply it if we can grow it naturally through a cover crop like this.
Other parts of the food chain use more energy than farming. Transportation, processing, even our own kitchens are energy intensive. But if farms can grow their own energy or their own fertilizer, they'd be a couple steps closer to making our food more fuel efficient. For Inside Energy, I'm Grant Gerlach.
That story comes to us as part of a collaboration between Harvest Public Media and Inside Energy. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. Stay tuned for Lily and the Sweet Sound.